If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
All right. So there is a moment when phone calls become intimate. I have concluded. Good morning.
Whoa, wait a second here.
It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, and not intimate in that kind of way, but here's the thing. Obviously, we talk on the phone with many people. Sometimes you have to talk to a coworker. Sometimes you're talking to, I don't know, somebody about your cable, hydro. Like,
sure.
It's not an intimate thing to have a phone conversation. We do it all day with many different people. Mm-hmm. However, FaceTiming has become very popular, and video calling in general. People do it from Snapchat and from Instagram and from Facebook and also from their phones for FaceTime as well. And I have a handful of friends, probably five friends, who every time we talk on the phone, which is like multiple times a week, it's a video chat. That's how we're having the conversation.
Okay.
But I realized yesterday that there's some people, when you haven't been doing that for very long with somebody, when it happens, it feels uncomfortable and I have no idea why. It's a friend who I probably have a phone conversation with once a month. We'll get on the phone for like an hour. And for yesterday, he called with a FaceTime and I was just so awkward the entire time. And I'm like, why is this so weird?
I get what you mean. I feel uncomfortable doing it with my wife.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's your wife.
Well, that's the thing, but we don't FaceTime. So the one time that we did FaceTime, we were actually looking at an apartment here in Montreal. I was here. She was in Toronto. So as soon as I saw her face, I immediately switched the phone around because I felt weird looking at her through my phone like that.
Okay. That's interesting to me considering she's your wife.
it was strange.
But don't you miss her face? I mean, you've been sort of apart for the last few weeks, off and on.
I have a picture of her. I'm on her Instagram.
You don't have to say anything, but she's your wife. I mean, if you're not comfortable looking at her on a screen and even just sharing an awkward silence, I mean, what does that say about the state of your relationship?
It was weird. I felt weird, so I hung up and I called her back. Normally.
I FaceTime a lot with my girlfriend when we're apart, and it's only awkward because she ends up looking at herself more than she ends up looking at me.
Yeah.
And I know when she's looking at herself, but she's more obsessed with how she looks on FaceTime, which to me defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it's kind of inevitable, though. Like, people do that when we're taking selfies or whatever.
Right.
You know, when you're making a video for Instagram, you're looking at yourself.
To me, like, that's where you draw the line with your friends. I mean, a real friend, no matter what time of day, you can FaceTime and you can get through the awkwardness of a FaceTime.
You do,
someone
eventually.
Someone who's on the fence and you're not comfortable with them FaceTime, I wouldn't consider a real friend because you can't share that intimacy. It is very intimate, but
yeah.
You have to be comfortable enough with the person to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, I think at one point this is how we're all going to be communicating. I think it's going to be a lot more common.
Absolutely.
Also, is it illegal to be FaceTiming while driving? Because a friend was calling me yesterday and she always...
Yeah, probably.
I don't think it is, though, because I think it would be the same as talking on the phone, as long as you don't handle your phone.
Yeah, but you can't be looking at a screen. Like, you can't be playing a DVD or playing video games on your console, like, hands-free
while
you're
driving.
Well,
you're not necessarily looking at it. I'm looking at her while she's driving. She's not looking at me.
Tell that to the judge.
The other, the thing I do like about FaceTime is you're not as distracted as when you're just talking on the phone. I think it's really easy when you're talking on the phone to be scrolling through other things.
Doing a thousand things.
But when you're looking at someone's face, you feel like you need to be engaged in the conversation, right?
And also make sure you're on a Wi-Fi signal, because the FaceTime data can add up very, very quickly if you're not. Yeah.
Still paying that bill from last month.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So you're hosting a dinner party this weekend. One of your guests brings their own food just for them to eat. What do you do? Happy Friday, the weekend's almost here. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. So I guess this came up because Carol Alt, she's a model from the 80s, was at a luncheon this past week and people noticed she brings her own salad dressing out along with cold-pressed olive oil and her own sea salt. So would you do this? Like, bring your own food to dinner? Or is it just plain old rude? I can see someone doing it at a restaurant, maybe, but someone's house to a dinner party, would you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. This has come up a lot this week, actually, because J-Lo also snuck cheese in her purse to the Oscars.
Snuck cheese.
She had like a cheese plate with her.
Do you think she was passing it out to people in her room?
Sharing the love. I actually like this idea. You know,
really?
A lot of people have allergies. A lot of people have intolerances. We're seeing this is like more and more rampant. Digestion issues, people struggling with digesting certain food. On top of that, sometimes people are just on a specific diet. Maybe they're doing keto or maybe they're vegan or whatever. So as somebody who has like struggled with these things before and my own like issues with digestion and the food that I can actually tolerate, I would be more comfortable if this was normal over asking somebody to completely change the menu for me. Because for some people, it's not really a choice. It's not like you can just sit down and eat whatever's put in front of you.
I mean, diet restrictions aside, because I get that. So if you're going to somebody's house, you know, it's kind of on the host to say, hey, if you have any diet restrictions, please let us know.
It makes me so uncomfortable to have to go tell them, like, I can't have this, I can't have this. I feel really bad.
I think people understand it, but you know what? If you can't have a certain thing. I think it's kind of like if somebody's slaving all day long to make you a beautiful meal and they're inviting you over to their house, you know what? Suck it up. If it's not a if it's not an allergy thing, you know what? They're doing you a favor. They're going out of their way for you. Gosh.
You see these like bodybuilders spending so much of their time and energy on a specific goal that they're working, and I've never done that, but a goal that they're working toward. So the idea that just like not to hurt someone's feelings, they'd have to sit there and eat something that has nothing to do with their training regimen is, I'm like, why? Why would you go through that? You still want to like have the social aspect. You still want to go out and be around people, but you shouldn't necessarily be judged just because you want to eat something different.
I don't know. If I'm being invited over to someone's house for a free meal, why would I bring my own food? I mean, just
it defeats the purpose.
Just sit down and eat it.
Okay. We want to know what you think about this, 92925. I know it's not common practice, but I have a feeling it's going to become more common it will be okay for people to bring their own
thing.
Come on. Melanie, what do you think?
Okay. Like you said, if you have an allergy or something, fine. But if I take somebody like my sister-in-law who comes to Christmas with her own juice, which is like Oasis juice, which is the same kind my mother-in-law buys. And she even writes the name on it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, really? Like,
I'm serious.
She brings her own juice, and she doesn't want to share it with anybody else? Is that why she puts her name on it?
At all.
Oh, see, if I brought my own, I would share it. I would bring enough to like share if anybody else wanted some, for sure.
Yeah, she's next level.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law went to take a glass, and she turned around and she pissed at her.
Have you considered uninviting her?
Family.
No comment.
that's a yes.
Melanie, have a great day.
You too.
We're getting so many texts on this one. Someone said, I'm a big fitness person with a strict diet. I just don't go to any dinner parties outside of my cheat day. So would your other friends not go to your house then bring their own food?
Yeah, stay away. Yeah. No,
if they're going to ruin it for everybody else, yeah, don't come.
Doris, does this happen to you?
Well, it's never happened to me, except for my girlfriend who's gluten-free, and sometimes I'll tell her, look, you know, I don't have a certain ingredient, can you bring it? But other than that, it depends on how you're serving. If you're doing a sit-down meal where you put a plate in front of everybody, yeah, I guess they have no choice. But when I host people, you know, there's a variety of different things. You've got the meat for the carnivore lovers. The hard one is the soy. You know how many things have soy in it?
Yeah, a lot of things.
So, but I mean, you know, and we're a group of about 10 people when I host them. I mean, there's always something there for everyone. And, you know, for me as a host, it's doable.
What if they ate what if they ate before they came?
Not when they come to my house.
You feed them well, don't you?
No, I don't think they eat for 2 days when they come over, obviously.
I want to come to your place.
Yeah, when's the next dinner party?
Yeah.
You're more than welcome. We're half Italian, half Slovenian, so the tables are always full.
Okay. I love you.
Can I bring my own meal?
Can you bring your own meal? Well, it depends on what I'm serving.
Okay. If it works. Thank
you. You know what? I'm open. I'm easy, though.
I love it. Thanks so much, Doris, and thanks for listening.
All right.
It's a great story, but is it true?
Time for Nikki, Sam, and Andy's to tell the truth.
Fridays are already fabulous.
Yeah. And this just makes it so much better. This is my favorite thing that we do.
Absolutely. So every Friday, right around this time, we have a stranger walk into the studio. They have some amazing story to share with us, and we have to decide whether they're telling the truth or whether they're lying,
can't
right?
Wait.
Okay, so it's time to do this again. I'm horrible at this, if you didn't know. We want to know what you think as well, so you can text along and help us out at 92925. Okay, so welcome. Please introduce yourself and let us know why you're here.
My name's Denis. So basically, from the age of 2, I grew up in a cult. Like a hippie reunion thing.
Like a commune, almost? Yeah.
Like, it wasn't religion-based.
Kind of like Wild Wild Country, that movie on Netflix.
Or Wanderlust with Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd.
Less horses.
Okay.
So basically what it was is what people, it was like trying to get out of the city that didn't want to work anymore, stuff like that. So I was born in Nova Scotia, but my father's French-Canadian.
Oh, hey, I'm from Nova Scotia, too.
Nice. Brownie points.
So basically we moved there young.
How did you guys make your money, or did you make any money then?
Well, everybody that came there had money. So they were just like, they're taking all their wealth and they were trying to liquidate it on the farm.
You were trying to get rid of your wealth. They were trying to get rid of it.
Or reinvest.
Reinvest. It was more like quality of life versus, you know, making the money. They had the money, they weren't happy with it, so they were like, we're going to get out of the city.
Your parents still there?
No, they left like 10 years, like 10, 11 years after.
Okay, and what do you do now?
I was only like 12 years old, so I left. Okay. I actually work here. I work at the cafe here in the building.
In Plaza Bonaventure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did this affect you psychologically? Like, tell me a little bit about this.
It wasn't like, you know, it was kind of like day-to-day stuff, right? So it was like, I was so young when I got there, it was 2. It wasn't like, I wasn't making any transitions or anything. So it was like, I was 2. I just walked into it. It was nature stuff.
Are you still in touch with anybody from this?
No, it was so long ago.
What's the name of this cult/commune?
It wasn't a name. There was no name.
It wasn't
like,
a name.
For us, we would refer to it as home. Okay. We'd be like, going home, I'm going home.
And was there ever a mastermind behind it? Someone who orchestrated the whole thing?
No, there was.
There's always one psychopath.
I mean, I'm sure somebody bought the land, right? It was like on an old golf course. It was like this old golf course, and like we just showed up there. There was like these two big like buildings face to face. We're like 100 people. It wasn't that small.
And no one was in charge.
There was a group of people there. There was like five families that were there when we got there.
So did your parents lose all the money there? Like, were they able to get some money back out when they left? I mean, or did they
all about the money, Sam. All about the money.
Or did they bet the farm? I mean, pardon the pun.
It's hard to answer because I don't know, right? I mean, I was like 12 years old when we left, so I don't know where the finances were, right?
Listen, I kind of feel like I know the answer because I know all my ex-boyfriends didn't ask these tough questions, but did you ever sit down with your parents and say, why did you do this? Like, what was your thinking behind
that? I did, but I mean, they're so like, my dad kind of got convinced to do it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad he was military, like not military. What do you say, Navy?
Okay.
My father was Navy, and like you know, my mother was like you know the hippie. She's into Reiki and stuff like
really
that.
That's a really big contrast going from the Navy to living.
I know, but they were young. I don't know. I think he was just falling around. who knows?
Like a good soldier.
Yeah, right. But anyway, long story short was, I mean, I don't know. I asked them what happened, but my mother was so easygoing about the whole story. It was just like, you know, it was something we did. It was the 80s, you know.
See,
like,
I would have to sit down with my mom and be like, sign this. We'll answer.
No, I totally asked the questions, but I mean, you know.
What did you guys do for fun when you were, for like, as kids?
It was all nature-based. I mean, it was the 80s. It was like no different than I'm sure the city was like that age. Like just going outside, we were hunting for like snakes.
Were people using a lot of drugs?
It was the 80s.
All right. Comment.
Okay. Wow. Okay, just one more time quickly, reintroduce yourself. Your name?
Yeah, my name's Denis.
And you said that you grew up in not really a cult, but
I use the word cult because it's a funnier, like, you know, more like clickbait when I'm telling the story.
Says he left when he was 12 years old. He now works in a cafe in Place Bonaventure. Mm-hmm.
It's a weird story, and that's kind of the vibe that we're getting on text. I'd say it's 70-30 people think he's telling the truth.
Okay.
Like this text right here, true. Too bizarre of a story to invent.
Oh, okay.
It's a good point.
That's, yeah. So you're saying about 70% of people say that he is telling the truth.
Yeah.
So the point is we have to decide whether he's telling the truth. He's about to reveal the truth in just about a minute or so. Okay, so we're going to take our guesses. Sam, why don't you start this week?
I think you're lying.
Okay.
I would have so many questions.
That's it.
Like just taking, you know, I don't know for an answer, or I don't know, it was the 80s. I would want to delve deeper. I think you would also have more of an affinity toward nature. Like I could see, I mean, if you grew up in the outdoors on a golf course, like you'd be doing something, landscaping, I don't know what. I just think there's so many unanswered questions.
Okay. Sam says you're lying. Andy, what do you think?
I kind of feel the opposite, actually. I think you're telling the truth. You seem very calm, very cool. Just like you said, this was part of your life and that's the way it was. And maybe you got that attitude from growing up on a commune. So I'm going to say you're telling the truth.
I am actually, I'm tough.
Think carefully now.
Remember, I'm undefeated. So
Where's that money?
Here's the thing. You knew some details, you know, the way you painted the picture of what the property looked like and what was going on makes me think you're telling the truth. When you say that you didn't have a lot of questions and you were just a kid, I kind of think that's what happens with happy kids. I think that's true. I think that happy kids probably aren't questioning a lot of what's going on around
them.
And it sounds like it would be a happy place. Like, you know, he said that there wasn't any sort of like religion being shoved down
in school. I mean, where else would you be happy?
Yeah, exactly. And he's in nature. We know how good nature is for your well-being. So I'm going to say you're telling the truth. So Sam says you're lying. Andy and I both say you're telling the truth. Denis, would you please reveal?
I'm lying.
No!
Yeah! No!
I'm back in it. All right, no! Love it.
Are you kidding me?
No!
Oh my gosh. I don't trust humans anymore.
No!
I was the most trustworthy person before we started doing this.
I totally trusted
people.
Well, you can like me still.
Not as much.
I'm still the city boy, though. Sorry.
You just made that entire story up.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, somebody made it up for you.
I had some help.
You're a good storyteller.
Denis, wow. So where did you grow up?
Nova Scotia, actually.
Okay, I don't trust you. I don't know if you're telling the truth. Halifax? Just outside of Halifax.
I was born in Halifax.
Oh, were you?
I was raised in the north in Cape Breton.
Yeah, don't believe you.
Yeah, you guys lived about two streets apart.
Yeah, it was on a farm and a golf course.
Okay, there you go. I lose again.
All right.
Thanks for coming in, Denis.
Thank you very much. Have a good morning.
You too.
I am just so deflated. I'm so upset. I'm saddened by that.
I was certain. So many texts at 92925. This is the best. It said, lying, there's always a leader. We should have caught that.
That's true.
Always a leader.
Sam kind of called him on it.
Nice work, Sam. Okay.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right. So people from Montreal are called Montrealers. People from Quebec, of course, we know, are called Quebecers. You're from Canada. Yeah. You're Canadian, right? Yes, these words that we use, by the way, to describe, or these names that we use to describe people who live in a particular place are called demonyms. Oh. I just learned that yesterday, yeah. And because I was like, there must be some weird ones. I actually texted Kat Spencer because he's from Saskatchewan. I said, what are people from Saskatchewan called?
Saskatoonians?
No. Well, yes. Saskatoonian if you're from Saskatoon, but what if you're from just Saskatchewan?
Saskites?
No.
Saskatchewanians.
Saskonians.
Saskatchewanites, actually.
Saskatchewanites, okay. Yeah.
Saskatoon, he said, is Saskatoonian, and his favorite is Moose Jovian, if you're from Moose Jovian.
Yeah. That can't be real.
It is.
Sounds like it's in Norway somewhere.
So a lot of these are really funny, and yesterday, Sam, you started stumbling over what to call people from Laval.
Yeah, I got kind of stuck. I've never had to refer to someone from Laval as a... as a
demonite.
Okay. This is what it sounded like yesterday.
There's a really good sense of community in Laval. I mean,
true.
Lavalians are
Lavalians.
Lavalians. Lavalites.
That was like a dating site.
I think. Seriously.
Lavalians sound like a breed of horse or something. Also,
Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, and so you kept sort of like going through trying to figure it out.
I was thinking, and I really couldn't get to the bottom of it. We were torn. We got texts from people that lived in Laval all their lives, and even they were torn. Like one person would say one thing, another one would have a discrepancy. So I still don't know.
Okay.
From Laval are called.
All right. So we're taking your texts, and the text started streaming in yesterday. They're streaming in right now as well. Maybe you're from Laval. Maybe you just know people in Laval. I mean, we all do. What did they call themselves?
Still on the fence.
Yeah.
We're getting such mixed reaction. There's a text here that says, I'm from Laval, but I've never heard the word to refer to us before. People that live there.
It's just never
lives.
Been used before.
Never been.
All right. Here's another text saying, I've been a Lavaler most of my life. If that's not the case, it would be like a loss of identity and confusion.
No. People might need therapy after this.
We're about to rock their world.
Questioning their identity.
All right. We have a couple of people who say they know the answer for sure. Alyssa, what do you think people from Laval are called?
They're called Lavalers.
Really? Because I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't live too far from there. I'm from Dermontagne.
Okay.
So, like, I know a lot of Lavalers. I went to high school with a lot of Lavalers. They're Lavalers.
That's what you always call them.
Yeah. Like, one of my best friends, she's from Laval. I'm like, you're such a Lavaler.
Okay. So, like, you're 100% sure on this. There's no, like, you're not wishy-washy.
Like, I don't know. Like, I call everyone Lavalers. Lavalers don't have a problem with me calling them Lavalers. So. Okay.
That's the name of their high school team, the Laval Lavalers.
Yeah, so it's for sure Lavalers.
Sam really said...
I didn't come up with it. I didn't come up with it. I'm not that creative.
Sam really said so. Lavalites.
That's shameful.
Shameful. At least it makes them sound more romantic, maybe. Yeah.
I feel so honored being talking to you guys right now.
Aww.
We love you. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Have a good day, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Alyssa said that it is Lavalers.
Still not convinced, though.
You're still not convinced.
No,
you're
still getting mixed reaction on our text line. People are disagreeing.
Yeah, okay. First text. Not true. Being here most of my life.
Not true, really.
Not true. Oh. Triple exclamation mark.
This is going to start a fight. Alain, you're from Laval. What do you call yourself?
Lavaloise.
Lavalois.
For girls in Lavalois.
Okay, because yesterday we had people that have lived in Laval all their lives that swore that they're called des Lavaliers. Do you live in Laval?
I lived in Laval. I went to school in Laval, and it's always been Lavalois, Lavalois.
What about Lavaler? Lavaler.
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, come on, Ali.
In French, it's always been Lavalois and Lavalois.
Wow, okay.
Sam was calling them Lavalites.
No. They're not an energy drink.
Right.
Elaine, sounds like you're smarter than Sam, too.
I am, too, but unfortunately, every time you come on, I'm on the road.
Oh.
I drive a city bus for Transdev and it's on the North Shore.
Okay. Well,
so I'm always on the road when you guys call, and so I can't text it in because I'm on the... Route 9.
Of course.
It's not like you can just pull the bus over.
I turn up the volume and everybody in the bus can hear that I'm smarter than Sam.
I love it. We love you. Thanks so much for having us on every morning. And the next time you have a day off, call us and beat him, okay?
Will do.
Okay. Thanks, Alain. Have a great
day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lavalois.
I think that's the consensus on the text line, but we're still getting mixed reactions.
Yeah. So the same person that wrote, not true, triple exclamation mark, also wrote back while we were talking to Elaine there, he is right, triple exclamation mark again. Very passionate.
This text says, I'm from Laval, call us whatever you like as long as you call us, and we will continue to.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.